Well, praise God. Happy New Year. This is the first day of January 2026. Hallelujah. And I am really excited about all the wonderful things that the Lord has in store for us this new year. Amen. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today with these your people. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered, unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances, Lord. Think to my mind, speak to my vocal cords. You know the needs of these, your people, not I. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. We're going to get right into the lesson that we started the teaching. This is part two of Tell Hell No. And we're going to look at section three. As I said, I started this teaching. I had this back in 2007, and I didn't realize how important it was, but God is good, brought it back to me. And so this is really important for the next 3 months. So we're breaking the year up in quarters. So we're going to focus on how to take dominion over the works of the enemy, how to live from the inside out. And we're going to focus on that. So we have three series of Tell Hell No. I have to teach on Take It All Back. So we got a great quarter that's going to come up, that's before us in the next 3 months. So it's all about application. So praise God. So we're going to look at section three, and section three is when you move, God moves. So a lot of people are waiting for God to move, but it's about you moving first. God tells you what he's going to do, then you move and act on his word. So let's get into this. And so when you learn how to activate the power of God through corresponding action, you'll see God move in your life. So this section will show you that you are already blessed, you're already empowered, you're already equipped. But the manifestation comes when you move on the word of God. You will see how faith becomes effective and how obedience activates the breakthroughs in your life. One of the greatest truths that you must settle in your heart is this. You must stop standing around waiting for God to bless you. You are already blessed. The Word of God makes this clear, absolutely clear. In Ephesians chapter 1, 3, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has," did you see that? The word has. That is a completed or tense that says it's already done. It's already done. Has, past tense. And so we have to always keep our faith in the proper tense. So it's a completed work. So it has blessed us with every, notice it says every, not some, every spiritual blessing. Where? In heavenly places. Now, what does that mean? That's times and seasons of God of your life. God already knows things that you need. He's already prepared for them. But we must ask for them. Glory to God. He's already prepared for them. You know, they're waiting on us. It's available to us for asking, like TV. You know, you're watching something on TV and they have what's called on demand. The blessings of God are already available on demand. When you're asking for them, in fact, that's what that word means to demand. It means to ask or to request, like going to the bank, making a withdrawal. They used to call it a demand slip. You're only withdrawing, are you asking the teller to give you what you already have? Well, we're on Jesus's account. We're on Jesus's bank account. So we just make a withdrawal on Jesus's righteousness. Glory to God. And God blesses us based on what the blood has done for us. So, the scripture says, who has blessed us. Again, that's past tense. God is not going to bless you someday. God has blessed you already in Christ Jesus. You're already blessed. So, the question is not, will God bless me or bless you? The truth is, you're already blessed and you must believe it. So, you must believe it to receive it. You got to believe it to receive it. It's called the law of heaven. The law of faith. Faith is a spiritual law. When you operate in the spiritual law of faith in Jesus, God is able to bless you in Jesus. No faith, no blessings. You get what I'm saying? No faith, no blessings. That's God's heaven's law. That's heaven's law. So, In 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, it reinforces this reality. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? Look what it says. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things, not some things, all things that pertains to life and godliness. So there's no excuse. He's empowered us to live godly if one desires to live godly, and he's provided everything we need pertaining to life. So that's spiritually and physically. He's already made a way. He's already provided it. Again, notice the language. It says has given. So his divine power has already given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. So another key to grasp is found in the knowledge of God and Christ Jesus. So you got to grasp that. It's in the knowledge of God and Christ Jesus. If you're not learning about Jesus, you cannot believe about what you don't know concerning Christ. So it's important to learn about Jesus. Very important to learn about him. Because that's how we get our blessings from God. All the blessings, our promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And we have to hear it so we can believe it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, God wants us to know about Jesus. So let's continue on. So when you move, God moves. That's what we're talking about in this section 3. The enemy fights to keep you from spiritual knowledge. Key, spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge of what God has given you when you believe it. So he will fight to keep you from knowing it. That's what Satan does. You know, he fought to keep you from getting saved. Now he fights to keep you from knowing the authority and the power and the benefits you have in Christ and really believing it. He fights it. Now, if you don't know what belongs to you, you will never act on it. So a lot of people don't know what Jesus has really done for them. They believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in all that Jesus has provided for them on the cross. And they got to believe in the benefits of their salvation, the benefits of his resurrection, what that blood has purchased. And when we put faith in it, he blesses us. I mean, God does. God manifests the blessings of Jesus. The blessing is released when we put faith in what Jesus has purchased for us. The blood, I think I talked about it a couple of Sundays ago. It's called blood money. The blood has purchased it. Amen? Amen. It's good stuff. So if you don't know what belongs to you, you can't act on it. And if you never act on it, you will never walk in it and experience it in your life. And that's the enemy's, that's what the enemy seeks to do, is to keep you from knowing the truth. What's the truth? The truth is a person. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. So he distracts you with a lot of things that has nothing to do with Jesus. A lot of information, always learning, but never coming into the knowledge of what Jesus has already done for you so you can put your faith in it so that God can manifest it. All right. This is why you must have knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge of the power that has been made available to you. So knowledge of the power. So there's power made available. That's the authority that you have to tell hell no. It's been made available to you. And knowledge of how to turn that power on so that you can receive everything that God has provided for you in Christ Jesus. You got to know how to do it. And that's the object, or that's my goal of these lessons we're going to have over the next 3 months. The first quarter of the year. This is why you can receive everything from God has provided for you in Christ. You can receive it when you understand it and you know how to access it through corresponding action. And that's what we're going to get into. And how do you turn this power on? By moving and acting on the word of God with faith, with a heart full of faith in it. And proper corresponding action. That's important what I'm talking about. Proper corresponding action. Faith is not foolish. Faith does not violate physical or natural laws. This is important. Peter walked on water because Jesus said, come. And you better hear Jesus say, come, before you walk on that water. Okay? But miracles do happen. When you hear Jesus speak to you, and he will speak to you, and when he speaks, a miracle is going to happen. He's the miracle worker. But you got to hear him, and you'll never hear him if you're not seeking to hear from him. Glory to God. Now, this is important. This is where Philemon 1:6 becomes so powerful in a believer's life if you get a revelation of this. I'll never forget when God revealed this to me, and I am so repentant to the, you know, that I didn't operate in this truth back 19 years ago. But now God has brought it back to me. Look what it says. The communication of your faith may become effectual. How? By the acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ. So how does it become effectual? How does the communication of our faith become effectual? By acknowledging every good thing that is in us and is in Christ. How many people don't acknowledge the good things that's in them that's in Christ? They spend all the time acknowledging the bad things about themselves. You're what's called your sin conscience. And you got to get delivered from your sin consciousness. And you got to now be redeemed. And you got to understand that you are righteous. And you have to walk in your righteousness conscience. What makes you righteous? Not because you do everything right. Because Jesus made you righteous. And you're accessing and walking in his righteousness. He has imputed righteousness upon you. Or made you. Actually, you're born again. Your righteousness is in your born again nature. So your flesh nature is not your born again nature. Your born again nature is the inside man. Come on, man. And when you learn how to live with a word controlled inside man, meaning the inner man is living by what the words say, not what the circumstances say.
Amen.
You'll see the miracle working power show up in your life. So what does the word say concerning what Jesus has done for you? You live by the inner man on that. And that's how you take the enemy and put him underfoot. And you begin to rebuke hell, you rebuke darkness with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you believe in your heart, released from your words of your mouth. Now, this is grown up stuff here. This is that we grow up. We understand that we live out of our born again spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's born again spirit feeds on the word of God, the knowledge of the word of God in Christ Jesus and who we are in him. So it's important that you be fed a good diet of Jesus. Man. That's how your spirit man gets strong. You got to be fed a good diet of Jesus. Now, let's look at this word here, effectual. As you can see from the screen, effectual comes from the Greek root, energos, or energy, or energes. I think it was pronounced energes when I listened to it. But anyway, it's all Greek to me. The noun from energema, I believe that's how you pronounce it. But let's move on, which refers to active, this is the key, active operative power. This is important. So that effectual word effectual that is translated from the Greek is active operative power. It is the same root from which we get the our English word energy. So you can interchange that word effectual to and say it this way, that the communication of my faith becomes power by acknowledging. So when I acknowledge every good thing that is in me, that is in Christ, the power is activated in my life. So you got to say that. When I acknowledge every good thing that is in me, that is in Christ, the power of what God has done for me is activated in me, meaning what Christ has provided. That's how you release the power. You understand what I'm saying? So, again, it means effective operation or result produced by active, often meaning divine power. The emphasis is God's power in action, producing real, tangible outcome. That's why it says that death and life is in the power of your tongue. Jesus said that you will answer for every idle word that you speak. An idle word is a word that's contrary to what Jesus has done for you. That's an idle word. Mm-hmm. And if you believe those idle words, it will be a reality in your life because it's the law of faith. That's just the way it works. You get what I'm saying? That's the way it works. So you have to keep Jesus on your tongue. You have to keep what Jesus has done for you on your mouth.
Yes.
No matter how things look, say what Jesus has done for you. Say that by his stripes I'm healed. I know, but you got to stand on that thing. And then that's called the good fight of faith. Okay? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So basically it is saying, this is how, you know, it is saying this is how the anointing is released. See, the anointing is on the inside of us, and it comes up out of us and is released through us. See, the anointing is in you. Heaven is in you. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is on the inside. So how do I get the, see, that's why, you know, we teach you live from the inside out, not from the circumstances on the outside. You live from what the word says based on the inside. So it's a word controlled life based on the inside. And you take dominion over the circumstances that's contrary to what Jesus has done for you on the outside, as you stand strong on the inside on the word of God. It's taking a stubborn stance on the inside of what Jesus has done for you. So when you communicate your faith, how do you communicate your faith? As you can see there, you communicate your faith through action, word and or deed. Oh, I believe God's going to bless me. Well, he says, give and it shall be given to you. Press down, shaking together, run over. Men shall give unto your bosom. Are you acting on that scripture by faith, sowing and giving as he told you to give? Are you paying your tithes? Huh? Are you holding your peace and letting God fight your battle? Are you clapping back at people? See, that's the corresponding action to see God show up to bless you. So you got to understand, this is the way it works. You're releasing the dunamis power of God when you correspond properly from natural external situations in your life. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. You got to understand that. That's the way it works. Now, you can go and get a lot of hooping and hollering, moaning and groaning, or you can go somewhere that's going to teach you how to live the word of God from the inside out so you can see the manifestations of the word in your life. I mean, you know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So the power of your faith is turned on where heaven backs up your actions, because you're acting on his word based on what Jesus has done for you. You get this? So when you act on the word based on what Jesus has done for you, heaven backs that up, or he confirms it. Like in the book of Acts, when the man was at the gate, beautiful, and Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. God confirmed the name of Jesus that he had faith in, and the power and the authority of that name was manifested. He released the dunamis power, and God raised that man up and gave him some feet. And so, well, man, you know, I don't have that type of faith. He spent 3 years with Jesus. How do you get faith? Spend time in the word, fellowshipping in the spirit, and you get strong, and your faith, your spirit man gets strong in Christ, and that dunamis is full of you. You're full of dunamis power. That's why it's important to spend time alone in a way. I did that this last couple of days. You know, I need to spend time with the Lord. You got to do that sometime. And, you know, anyway, you got to abide in him, and that those fruits of the miracle working power will show up in your life. He will confirm that word that you believe in your heart. How do you get faith? You get faith by hearing the word of God and meditating on that word of God and spending time in that word of God, reading the scriptures and meditating on the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16, 15 through 19, it says, man, we got to move on here. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? This is Jesus talking to Peter. And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So you got it. Who do you say Jesus is? It ain't who other people say Jesus is. If you listen to other people, hey, man, their faith or what they believe about Jesus is their business. It's faith is personal. If you don't believe he's a healer, he's not going to heal you. If you don't believe he's your provider, he can't provide for you, because you won't agree with what Jesus has done for you. And you listen to other people that don't believe in Jesus, that's their lives the problem. This is personal. Look what he said here. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed. Did you see this? Revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And look what he says here. He said, on this rock, I will build my church. What rock? The rock of the revelation knowledge of who Jesus is, who you say Jesus is. You have the Jesus that you believe that he is. Even if you're not believing the right thing, he's not manifesting in your life because you don't believe it. But Jesus is a healer. He is a provider. He is a miracle worker, and he still does it today. You just got to put your faith in it, and you got to agree with it. So he says, on this rock I build my church. Church are people. So I build my church are my people that's been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ Jesus, the kingdom of God. He says, I built my church on this, on the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if the gates of hell are prevailing against a local assembly or a body or a believer, a person, it's because they don't understand or they don't have revelation of Jesus. They don't understand their authority they have in them. They don't believe, fully believe in what he's done for them. And so it is our responsibility as leaders. That's why I teach it. My job is to teach you Jesus. You learn Jesus, you're going to be all right. Jesus will fix it. In 2026, you need to make Jesus your fix. Oh, glory to God. In 2026, you need to make Jesus your fix. You need to, you know, you need to make it about your business to find out more about Jesus.
Amen.
You need to learn about Jesus. He said, learn of him. So understand this clearly. When you move and act on the word of God, God moves. So I want to look at this principle in action from the word of God. In the book of 2 Kings, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7, 3, 5, and 8, it says, it tells us a story of four lepers sitting at the entrance of the gate. So there was a famine, and they were shut up in the city because they was being besieged. You know, the Syrian army had them, you know, hemmed in there. Now look at this here. And they said to one another, why are, now the lepers wasn't in the city, they was out on the outskirts of the city. It says, and he said to one, they said to one another, why are we sitting here till we die? And they moved. Look what it says. And they moved. They rose at twilight and walked towards the camp of the Syrians. And when they arrived, it says, to their surprise, the camp was empty. Why? Why was it empty? Look at this. Because when they moved, the Lord caused the Syrian army to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they figured that, you know, Israel had hired Egypt and them to fight against them, and they ran. So, but God caused them to hear that noise. God caused the enemy to hear something that wasn't naturally there. See how our God moves? But it happened as the leopard moved. It didn't happen until the leopard stepped out there on their faith. Just that statement. They stepped out. So you got to get sick and tired of being in a leprous situation in your life. It's not until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired that you're going to speak to them sycamine trees in your life and command them to be dry up at the root or cast up into the sea. You got to get to a place where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And a lot of people ain't there. They're content. They content, especially nowadays. Everybody content. They got a little something, something, and they happy and they smiling. And that's great. You're supposed to ask something. Don't get me wrong. But they ain't happy about living godly. That's all pretense. Oh, God's blessed me. The God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not bless you. He's having mercy on you. You know, he reigns on the just and the unjust. Nah, you're deceived. He's having mercy on you. All righty. He don't bless sin. So don't ever lie on my Jesus. God ain't blessing a person that is practicing sin. And any preacher that pacifies that is not or deceived, or they may not be called to God, or they didn't got off. Well, our job is to help people live right and not to pacify and codify flesh and carnality. That's not our job. You can do it if you want to. It's a choice. Praise the Lord. The Syrians Syrians panicked and fled, leaving behind tents, horses, donkeys, food, silver, gold, and clothing. I call it. They got paid, man. They got paid. They ran. The lepers walked in abundance because they acted on a simple decision. Why sit ye here till we die? Why sit we here and struggle and live in this hellish situation of my life? You got to make your mind up. I'm just using that. So praise the Lord, they got paid. And so will you when you move and act on the word of God. You got to get tired of things and want to learn about the benefits you have in Christ. The devil banks on people being ignorant of not knowing their benefits. That's how he gets over on people. So now, this what they did brought a prophetic word that was given in 2 Kings 7, 1 and 2 to pass. Now, tonight is really what I wanted to get into. This is a very important part of the teaching because this is the key to breakthrough. When you're walking by faith, you need to learn this principle. We look into the Old Testament to understand the MO of God, meaning that mode of operation, how God functions. And when you understand how God functions, you will be willing to follow his unctions, his leadings. But this is an MO here. Now look at this here in 2 Kings 7, 1 through 2. Elisha said, "This is the word of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. And it says, "By this time tomorrow, food will be plentiful and inexpensive again in Samaria." Now, I got this in the easy to read version. But the king's officer replied. So the king, I think the word of God says, who he relied on or leaned on, you know, his confidant, his trusted person that he got advice from. Look what he says. But the king's officer replied, that's impossible. Look what he said. That's impossible. God is a God that does the impossible.
Glory.
So he tells you to do something that's impossible. You are in miracle land. That's what makes our faith different from every other religion of the world. We serve a miracle working God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But the king's officer replied, "This is impossible. Even if God opens the windows of heaven," Elisha answered, "you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it." The lesson learned is, this is the lesson I want us to learn from this. When you are believing the impossible, God is moving in the invisible. He's moving in ways that you don't understand. He already has a plan of action. He doesn't always tell us everything in details. He tells us this is what I'm going to do, but he don't tell you how he's going to go about doing it. And a lot of times he don't tell you the timing of things. He just tells you to be faithful and trust me. Occupy till I come. How long that going to take? I do not know. One thing is for certain. We only got so much time on the earth, so he's going to come eventually if he promised something to you. It's going to happen. Because his word will not return void. Praise the Lord. The thing also that hit me when I was looking at this, it just came to me. The officer replied, that is impossible. Even God, if God opened up the windows of heaven, that sounds like religious people talk to me. You be believing God, so God can't do that. God wouldn't even do that. We serve a God that says that all things are possible to him that believe. There's nothing that God can't do if you will believe it. See, the problem is why people struggle in their faith is you're trying to figure it out intellectually in your noodle of how it's going to happen. And that's proof that you're not trusting what the word of God says. You're trying to figure it out. And once you can figure it out, then you'll believe it. But God had a plan here. Now look at this here. Look at this here. So as you continue to read 2 Kings 7, 3 through 20, let's read this. The four lepers went to the Syrian camp and found it empty because the Lord had scattered the army away by causing them to hear armies attacking, and they ran. They ate, gathered valuables, and then told the city the good news. They was thinking, oh man, this is the wrong thing to do. Let's go tell somebody. But they hid their stuff. Praise God. The king sent men to check. This is in my spirit. I need to talk about this. This is also how miracle manifestations of money and increase comes in your life. God will manifest miracle money to you or bless you financially in the financial arena to bless you and to give you an overflow so that you can sow. You get what I'm saying? See, biblical prosperity is not about hoarding for yourself. It's about being a distribution center to be a blessing to the children of God, to the rest of the nation, to the rest of the body. And he can't trust everybody because you're going to people that's going to hoard it for themselves. He can't trust them. See, it was a part of the sustenance program, glory to God, of his people. And so he created a miracle for his people so that they can be sustained. And that's the way our God operates. All righty. So now, and so people have a grace of prosperity on their life because they're givers, because their heart is in giving. All right. Just a little nugget I want to throw out there. The king, because people get upset about the prosperity message. You don't understand. There's men that give jets away and you mad that man got jet. How many jets have you given away? None. Well, how come he got a jet? Because he gave several jets away. You won't even give $10 to the person sitting next to you in church. Like that prosperity message. Well, there lies your problem. I'm trying to help you, man. I'm trying to help you. You got to get kingdom minded. The king sent men to check, and they confirmed the Syrians were gone. And when the people heard it, and you don't use it like a slot machine. You don't give like a slot machine. You follow the leading of the Holy Ghost in your giving. And the king sent men to check, and they confirmed the Syrians were gone. Yes, Lord. When the people heard it, they rushed out and took the food and supplies, just as Elijah prophesied. So he prophesied, and this is his prophecy coming to pass. Now, see how this is working. The king had put the same officer who doubted God's word at the gate. This was not deliberate. Understand this. He was one of his guards. He says, okay, go to the gate. And it was basically crowd control. But when the starving crowd ran out, they trampled him to death. He saw the miracle happen, but he never ate anything of it, exactly as Elisha said. Now, what I want us to see here is the next thing here. Let me get into the next thing here. We're going to be done here. The lesson that the Lord wants us to learn from this is this. When God tells us things that will come to pass, but he doesn't always reveal the details of how. I said it already, but he doesn't always reveal the detail of how it will be done. I personally have things that the Lord has told me, but I don't know all the particulars of how. And it was the same when Elijah prophesied. They didn't know how God was going to do it, but God already had the plan. He already knew how he was going to do it. See, God already knows everything. So God already put this plan in motion. Mm-hmm. And so what I want you to understand is our job is to trust his word. He is working in the invisible to bring to pass what others think are impossible. Glory to God. I won't read that again. That thing under the anointing. Let me tell you this. Our job is to trust his word. God is working in the invisible to bring to pass what others think is impossible. Right now, we are believing God for the impossible. This is impossible what y'all trying to do. Yes, for man it is impossible. But what we're believing God for, it is not impossible for God. And that's what faith's all about. It's about trusting God to do what you can't do. So telling hell no is not about your ability. It's about trusting God to enforce or back you up based on your faith in Jesus. He backs your faith up when you're standing on the righteousness of Christ Jesus. You're believing for the miracle working power that is in you, Jesus. He's the miracle worker. And you're believing in the love of God. Jesus is the manifest of love. You're believing he's going to manifest his love in your life. And whatever you're going through, he's going to help you out. Heaven is going to help you out.
Amen.
Praise God. So what do you think happened with that noise? He caused that to happen. Angels begin to move and march. You couldn't see them. But see, God is doing it.
Yes.
We have angels.
Yes.
See, angels are God's glory to God. Covenant enforcement agents. They're the angels. You got to believe that. See, this church, this ministry has angels assigned to it.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And they're the covenant enforcement agents. And there's people that God has ordained to sit in these seats and learn about Jesus. I said sit in the seats and learn about Jesus. Before the world was founded. And what's happening? He releases his angels, who is his covenant agents. There are for they minister for the children of salvation. They got to come get saved. So these angels are working behind the scene, causing things and rearranging things to happen.
Yeah.
How he going to bring them and who they are? That's none of my business. Occupy till I come, says the Lord. You get what I'm saying? And so all those teachings begin to click. Oh, that's what occupy till I come means. And you just stand strong. And when you speak the word, you give the angels strength. They hearken to the word, the voice of the word. So you got to give voice to the word. And like I said, I did say this a couple of Sundays ago. The word that you believe in your spirit is the word that is released with power. So if you believe what you're saying from your heart, it has the dunamis power. And that's what the angels hear. They hear the sound of your faith when you speak in that word. And they have to march out and begin to bring God's word to pass. Because they are God's covenant enforcement agents. Glory to God. We don't see them, but they're all around us. And they're causing God's word to come to pass. How do I get my debts canceled? Angels begin to move things around. Why? Because they can. Because God said so. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And you're his child. And he ain't going to let nobody mess with you.
Amen.
Oh, the Reverend don't want to teach that. Because he don't believe. I don't want to give them no false hope. Well, Jesus is our hope. Wait a minute. Do you really believe the gospel? Well, yeah, you're going to heaven. You're saved. But you want to live on, barely get along the street right next to Grumble Alley all the rest of your life. Or talk about the pride of how hard you worked. And stop bragging on yourself. You're just bragging on yourself. Praise the Lord. Oh, this is good. So our job is to trust the word. Trust God's word. He is working in the invisible to bring to pass what others think is impossible. Remember, all things are possible for those who believe in what Jesus has provided for them. Say that again. All things are possible for those who believe in Jesus and what Jesus has provided for them. Now, you got to hear that and meditate that and get that thing in your spirit so that you can live by it for real. And then you'll see miracle working power of Jesus Christ manifesting in your life. Praise the Lord. So we got to remember, the how is not our business. Our business is to believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have fainted or lost heart had I not believed that I was. Had I not believed. The angel came to Mary. There go that covenant enforcement agent and said that you shall have a child. She said, how shall this be? The angel said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. And it says, blessed is she who has believed. Our job is to believe, and you will see it and experience. I'll say it again. Our job is to believe. So when you are telling hell no, you're telling hell no on the grounds of your faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Oh. So when you believe the impossible, God moves in the invisible to bring it to pass. That's important. I want you to remember that. When you believe the impossible, and the impossible is not something, it's the scriptures that appears to be impossible. See, people read the Bible, they don't really believe it's going to happen in their life. Well, that's impossible. Okay. Praise the Lord. So now, as we continue to read in 2 Kings 7, 3:20, it says, we already read that. I'm sorry, that's a double slide. Now, Let's look at Luke 17, 11, 14. Luke 17, 11, 14. Praise the Lord. It says that as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through Samaria and Galilee. Now look at this. This is another example here. When you move, God moves. Let's look at this here. Thank you, Lord. He says that As Jesus went, it says that as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through Samaria and Galilee. And when he entered a certain village, 10 men who were lepers stood afar off and lifted up their voice, saying, "Jesus! Jesus, Master! Have mercy on us!" Why? Because they wasn't supposed to go into the presence of people. So they lifted their voice. You get what I'm saying? So pay close attention to what happens next. When Jesus saw them, when he saw them from afar, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, you see that? As they moved on what Jesus said. See, you're going to get a word in your spirit.
Yeah.
And when you get that word in your spirit, you done heard. That's called that rhema. That's that voice from God that spoke to you. And you got it now, doggone it. That's your title deed to your promises. Glory to God. Faith is like a title deed. When you heard him, I said, "No, I heard Jesus on this, doggone it. I heard him. Glory to God. He spoke to me. And I heard him on the inside." Why? Because he speaks to you on the inside. If he speaks on the outside, because you ain't developed on the inside yet, but he wants to speak to you from the inside so that you can move out. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So I want you, did you see that? They moved on the words of Jesus. What? And the power of God moved upon them. See, his power was activated to heal them because they acted on what Jesus said. Go show yourself to the priest. Now, they was going to show themselves to the priest because that's what you did to prove, glory to God, that you were healed of leprosy. They had to examine them. So as they went, the word that Jesus told them to do, they acted on Jesus' word, it manifested. So all I need is a word. Give me a word, Jesus. I need a word. And that's what you got to say. Lord, I need a word. I need a word. I need a word. I need a word to stand on. And when he dropped that word, how do you know? You'll be looking at the word, that scripture, that word and dropping your spirit. Oh, I got my word. I got my word on that thing. And you hold that word. You meditate on that word. You live by that word, man. It's that word on the inside that shows up and makes things happen on the outside. It's that rhema word on the inside about Jesus that makes miracle working power happen on the outside. We live from the inside out. What are you doing, brother? I am teaching the gospel, the good news. What's the good news? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Huh? You looking for him all out here. He in there. And when you get an inside development reality and fellowship with him as you read the word and all this, boy. So the same is true for you. Now, I'm making this practical. This is the corresponding action. Take your meds and say, "I'm healed in Jesus' name by his stripes." Now, that word get down on the inside of you. Galatians 3:13, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Oh, when he speaks something to you, that's your rhema word. That's the word that you can walk on water on. That's the word that's going to heal you. That's the word that's going to deliver you. That's the word that's going to prosper you. You need to learn how to hear a word. And once you get that word, you got it. Once you get that word that you healed, glory to God, you healed, man. That word from the book got to get in your spirit, got to get in your heart. See, it's just words on the page. But until you get serious about the scriptures, it won't get on the inside. It won't get on the inside of you. Glory to God. So you take your meds and say, "I'm healed in Jesus." This is how you apply this. This is how you release your faith. You acknowledge every good thing that is in you that is Christ. By his stripes I was healed. You acknowledge every good thing that is in you that is in Christ. By his stripes I was healed. You acknowledge every good thing that is in you that is in Christ. By his stripes I was healed. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I am whole. Let the weak say I am strong. See, you acknowledge every good thing that is in you that is in Christ. Stop acknowledging all the bad things. Reverend, stop preaching the bad things to the people. Acknowledge them. Tell them who they are in Jesus. If you don't see who you are in the mirror of this word, you will never recognize yourself in Christ. Our job is to show you who you are.
Yes.
You are not some religious tradition and denomination. You are a child of God, a reflection of him. And when you look in the mirror of the word, you see who you really are. Now, Rem don't know who he is. That's why he can't tell you who you are and can't point it out into the scriptures to you. So you got someone preaching that ain't born again, that don't know who they are. The light ain't on the inside. They got a lot of head knowledge, but they ain't got no inner spiritual understanding of the kingdom and who they are in Jesus. And that's why things don't happen. When you give court, look, you take your meds and say, I'm healed by Jesus. You go show yourself to the doctor, just like the lepers went and showed themselves to the priest. And it says, and glory to God, get this. Go show yourself to the doctor. And we'll declare and we'll declare the power of God has, you know, calm down, Larry. This excites me, man. Y'all got to get this. No one's teaching y'all how to do it. And the doctor will declare the power of God has taken you off the meds. Because you kept your mouth in line with what Jesus has done for you. You fought the good fight of faith. In spite of how you felt, you said, I'm healed. You take your medicine. I don't care. I'm healed. I ain't supposed to take this. Heaven has healed me. And then the power of, and one day you go to that appointment. Hey, what's going on? Your numbers. Oh, what's going on? And suddenly, your blood pressure gets so low, we got to take you off. Oh, no, this is not good. This is not good. Oh, you're healed. They have to acknowledge it. I'm believing God's going to give people brand new kidneys. If you start taking dialysis and saying, I'm healed. Look, come on. Miracles, signs and wonders. That's the only thing that's going to get unbelievers to see this. And they're going to repent and realize that we serve a risen Lamb, and he's alive, and he's real forever. Calm down, man. Whew, glory to God. When you give corresponding action, faith is not foolish. It is doing something correspondingly with the proper action of the Word of God. The power of the Word is activated. I'll say it again. The same is true for you when you give corresponding action to the Word. The power of His Word is activated and turned on for you. And it comes through you. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said they shall recover. You just do the laying of the hands. Yeah. You become the point of contact. And you just stay in face. And your point of contact is where you remember. No. And when the devil comes to try to say, you know, I was a situation, someone was on a respirator. God told me to go pray for them. Sing in their ear. Jesus loves me. This I know for the Bible tells me so. And then they came off and then they went back on. And in my mind, and I have to remind myself, no, Jesus said to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And they shall recover, not because of me, because of Jesus. And bam, they're now fine. I've been praying for their eyesight. I hear they're starting to see light in their eyes. He's going to open the blind eyes. See, you got to do this thing according to the principles of the Word. Release your faith with your mouth. Okay. Glory to God. Whew. So you got to stop sitting around crying and begging God to bless you. You are already blessed, healed, delivered, and prosperous. Keep your eyes, keep Jesus on your tongue. Hallelujah. And tell hell no. No, I refuse to be sick. I refuse to die early. I refuse to take all this medicine that got all these nasty side effects. The side effects will kill you. You got to stop going to church to hear something to sound good and pacify your emotions and hear a relevant word on how to apply this thing and get results. So keep your eyes on, keep Jesus on your tongue and tell hell no by declaring what Jesus has done for you. Speak Jesus to your mountains. Speak Jesus to, what does that mean? Speak what Jesus has done to you, to your mountains, for you, to your mountains. Speak the grace of Jesus over your life to the mountains. The mountains will bow down to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The mountains will bow down when you speak the grace of Jesus Christ, what he's done for you. Mm-hmm. They that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Like a king, reign. Well, the king's decree. It's a kingdom. You must decree what the king has done for thee. Glory to God. You must decree what the kingdom has done for thee. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. By his stripes, I was healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's how this faith thing works, man. And you do that in your quiet time at home, meditating on the word, muttering it and praising him. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Galatians 3:13. Glory to God, I believe it and I receive it. I thank you, you're doing it for me. It ain't works. It's worship. And it's not earning it. It's fighting the good fight of faith. God can't resist when you worship him in the name of Jesus and for what he's done for you. And you refuse to take no for an answer. Now get this, in Ephesians 3:20 it says, now unto him that is able, now unto him that is able, now unto God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all things that you ask or think. How? According to the power that works in us. What's the power? The word that you believe that you're going to speak from your heart and say, it is so. It is done. Jesus is the hold fast the confession of your faith. That means to say the same thing, to say what Jesus has done for you. The power is the power is the word of God that you believe and act on with proper corresponding actions, with spoken words, doing what the Bible says do, and living how the Bible says live. The greater one lives on the inside of you. The power of the kingdom is released in us, through us, and around us when we are moving, when we move on God's word. Or when we move, God moves. It's just like that. Remember that ludicrous song? All heaven goes into action to bring to pass the word that we believe about Jesus. You got to understand, all of heaven goes into action to bring to pass the word that we believe about Jesus. Like I'm telling them, no. The blood of Jesus has saved souls, and they're supposed to be sitting in these seats to hear about Jesus. And I know there's only one entity that don't want them to come hear about Jesus, and that is the devil. The devil don't want nobody to hear about Jesus. But I understand how to go to war now. And you watch Jesus and his angels fill this place up. First John 4:4 says, it states, we are of God, little children, and overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You must get a revelation of this truth and act on it, because your victory is on the inside of you. It's within you. Greater is he that is in you. The greater one lives in you. So when you act on the word of God, on what the word of God says, what the Spirit of the Lord speaks and tells you to do, he begins to move for you. Jesus lives on the inside. By way of the Holy Spirit. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the gospel. Paul said, when I got a revelation of Christ in me, I went and preached Christ in me. You know, a lot of people ain't preaching Christ in people. They preaching church junk. I know people get offended when I say that, but you're not hearing the simplicity of the truth of the gospel. He lives in you. Fellowship with him. Why are you scared to tell people that? Unless you don't believe it. That's your newborn again nature, and you commune with him on the inside, with him in your heart. We're not a religion. We are a relationship with God. All these other religions have outside gods. God ripped the veil and came and took residence on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Oh my God, look at the time. It didn't get away from me. Let's close this section by talking about looking at Matthew 16:13-19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, we will look back at that. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? He said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church again, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So as you get built up in Christ, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against you. You got to get a revelation of Jesus and all that he's already provided for you as his church, which is called the body, and his representatives. Stand on it, live by it, and you will not be defeated. Forgive me. Jesus is your victory. You won't be defeated because Jesus is your victory. So this rock is revelation knowledge, the revelation of who Jesus is and what he has already done for you and the authority he has given you. And you are to act on his behalf, his delegated authority. It is revelation from the Holy Spirit that causes you to understand and see it. So if you're not spending time in the Word, you're not going to see it. If you're not being taught this, you're not going to understand it. See. You must have a solid understanding of Christ in you. Say that again. You must have a solid understanding of Christ in you. With this understanding, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. How? The greater one lives inside of you. But if you're not being taught that, and you're being taught a religious traditional system, and you're taking on the identity of your church's denominational name, that's not what you are. You're a child of God.
Amen.
So now I want to point this out to you. The word gates, this should be very obvious to you. The purpose of gates is to protect and keep people out. Jesus says the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. So what he is saying is that the gates of hell cannot keep us from getting in. Therefore, you can tell hell no, kick the gates in, and take possession of everything that Jesus died to provide. The souls of men are being held captive by the forces of darkness. But the church, who is the light of Christ, kick the gates in, and we get souls that want to come out of hell. We get the souls out of the hellish living in these communities. They want to come to Jesus, but we got to fight for them in the spirit realm. And you need a church that understands, that has a powerful, that understands intercession and how to war in the heavenlies so that we can get so. See, you want somebody to manipulate. You want that manipulation stuff don't save people. Dealing with their emotional issues. That don't bring salvation. It pacifies them. And then they go back and backslide. You heard me. It pacifies them and they go back and backslide. How you know, Brother Larry? I'm telling you. It's not until you understand who you are and get converted in your heart that you really change. And it has to be done through prayer first. But anyway, that's another teaching. Jesus has given us the power and authority to kick in the gates of hell and take from the devil what rightfully belongs to us. The enemy holds back your promotions on jobs and keeps you from prospering and get ahead in life. You think it's just, oh, well, God is, you know, no. There are evil spirits are just as real as angels, heavenly angels. And it's the angels that fights the spirits and back them up off of us. We release our authority. Come on. It's like, see, we're agents. Glory to God. Our angels are our bodyguards, man. And the angels do whatever we tell them. If we don't say nothing about what Jesus has done for us, our angels sit there folded up and don't do nothing.
Yes.
But when we put our angels to work by saying, hell no, okay, the angels go, get back. And the demons run. Why? Because physically we can't get to them because our spirit man is trapped in his body. And I'm giving some real meat today. See what I'm saying? But our angels are spirit. And the demons are spirit. And when we stand on what Christ has done for us as physical beings in with blood, because God gave man the authority of the earth. I know I'm teaching some rhema today. Come on, guys. This is for mature me. Because we have blood in our body, we have authority in the earth. So when we speak the authority of heaven in the earth, the angels say, oh, this is heaven's law. And they begin to back demons up. They begin to take demons away from people that are whispering in their ears, got them sinning. Oh man, okay. You get what I just said? Now you done went to Bible college and you don't know nothing I said. But this is spiritual stuff I'm talking. Man, listen. I don't got nothing else to say. Father God, I have ministered his word. I've shared the truth and heavenly kingdom mysteries. You know the people that need to hear this. Mature saints, pillars that need to hear this so they can enter into their divine purpose and plan so that your heavenly vision can come to pass. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus and we thank you for maturity that people are coming up in the body so that they can begin to fulfill your divine purpose and plan. Amen. Hallelujah. I've said enough for tonight. Praise God. On Sunday, we're going to be talking about we're going to talk about Sunday. We're going to talk about something good. Glory to God. Oh, part four. We ain't done. Part four, Sunday. See ya.